Let us all say amen. We want to thank all our brothers that's participated thus far in our worship service. Thank you for the song. We need a friend like Jesus in the times in which we live now. Someone, as we sang in the song, to carry that load that we have and to help us with the trials that we go through his word, that he can help us. I want to say good afternoon to everyone. I want to thank you again, those that have made time in their schedules to worship with the congregation that meets at Holland Heights Church of Christ. We are trying to move swiftly in getting the building restored so that we can assemble again and follow whatever guidelines the CDC recommends for us to be able to assemble to worship God in spirit and in truth, with them being those that are the experts as it relates to, you know, infections and disease, that we can follow those guidelines that we can worship the Lord. I want to thank you again I want to thank the Lord for another opportunity to share with you the word of God. If you are here on the call this afternoon and you may not be a member of the Church of Christ, some foundational things I would like to share with you, and I'll have some specific comments to make at the close of this message. In Jeremiah chapter 10, and the verse is number 23, Jeremiah made the statement, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his step." Jeremiah realized, hopefully what you have realized, that it's not in man to direct himself spiritually. That's why God has given us the Bible, his word, to direct man. And so when Jesus spoke what is referred to as the Sermon on the Mount, or the mountain, in Matthew 6:33, Jesus gave a prioritization when he said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." So there's a place that God has, and Jesus told those that were listening, he said, seek the kingdom that belongs to God first, he said, and the righteousness of God. And this God he was talking about was God the Son of God. And so when Nicodemus met with Jesus by night in John chapter 3 and the verses number 3, Jesus said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So a person had to be born again. This birth is a spiritual birth, and I'll share with you how one is born spiritually at the close of the message. And Jesus told Nicodemus that a person cannot even see the kingdom. And that didn't come about to Acts chapter 2. Nicodemus had to be hopefully been living in Acts chapter 2 when Peter gave the first gospel sermon, and it allowed people to become members of the kingdom of God or the Church of Christ. And that's why the Bible records in Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord, no does it, God, the Lord, added to the church, that's the kingdom, daily, such as should be saved. So if you're going to be saved, if you're going to receive salvation, if you have plans or hopes, desires of going to heaven and being saved, which is salvation, you have to be added to the church. And so I'll share that with you at the close. On this afternoon, I want to first recap from last week's message, then I'll give you the message on this afternoon, and the time will be yours. But I want to just go back and revisit what John wrote to Gaius in John, what is called the third letter of John. He wrote to a Christian individual and that he was praying for him for his financial, physical, and spiritual well-being. And so that was in verse number 2 when he said to him that thou mayest prosper, that's financially, and be in health, that's physically, even as thy soul prospers, that's spiritual. And so I shared on last week, and I would just like to recap or overview those things for one, for those that may not have heard it on last week, but then also to basically review with those that are students of the Word of God that may want to remind themselves of those things. So we talked about first financially that the Word of God teaches us about finances, which is matters relating to money, how to not only spend it but also to save it. And we say when it comes to the giving of that money, 2 Corinthians 9:7, where the Bible says God loveth a cheerful giver. So when one has money and managing money, it begins with me giving first to the Lord. That's what Paul told in 2 Corinthians 9:7. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. And then we share that man was to work. Genesis 3:19, the Bible says, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. So man was to work. God made man to work. We also shared from 2 Thessalonians 3:10 that all that are able and capable were to work, because Paul wrote to the Thessalonians and he said, this we command you, that if any would not work, neither should he. So it's commanded of God that man won't, that we work, as God has commanded us. And then we looked at briefly the example that Solomon gave concerning the ant in Proverbs 6:8 when it comes to, as we close on money, about the fact that man was to, that he said the ant provided meat in the summer and gathered her food in the harvest. And so that's about saving, learning how to not only earn money, but how to save money. Then we looked at a case study on biblical management. We looked at Joseph, how when he was put over Egypt to manage the affairs of the land, and how, according to Genesis 41:34, Joseph put back a fifth part or 20% of all that they gathered. And the Bible says also, Joseph said, when it comes to someone that leading and managing, he said in verse number 38 of chapter 41, a man in whom the Spirit of God is, that's who you need to lead you financially. And we know that we are led, according to Romans 8:15, those that are Christians, we are led by the Spirit of God, and we're influenced by the words of God. Those are the things that direct us as it relates to our finances and managing money. So we just looked at some of those things, and we also wanted to share with those that are children and grandchildren, according to 1 Timothy 5:3, that the Bible says it is an obligation of children and grandchildren to learn first to show piety at home, and piety being the obligation on the part of children and grandchildren to express in a practical way their devotion to God towards their own family, in this case, parents. And we talked about the word requite means to give, to repay, or to give back to your parents. That's commanded by God. And so We talked about financially. And then we looked at from a physical standpoint where John had prayed for Gaius about him physically. And so we gave three foundational things, one in Genesis 1:29, where God has said to man that, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for me. So what we try to reestablish and for some introduce and to teach us that when God made man from the beginning, man was given an agricultural diet consisting of foods from the earth. That was God had when he created man. So we know if we follow God, if we do what God says, it is for our betterment. But however, we did state, according to 1 Timothy 4:3, that God has allowed for man to eat those things that he wants as long as we receive it with thanksgiving. He said, of them which believe and know the truth. So long as we can eat meats, we can eat things that we choose to eat, long as we thank God for it. And again, when we restrict ourselves from things, from certain foods, it's not for religious reasons, it's for health reasons. Because of my blood pressure, because of my being a diabetic, I have to limit myself from those things that would increase my blood pressure, those things that would increase my glucose level. I am mindful of those things, and that's why we talked about the importance of seeing our doctor on a regular basis where you have blood work done, because life is in the blood. You find out where you are by understanding, and the doctor knows those blood work levels that teaches us what's healthy and not healthy. And we use as a case study the example of Daniel in Daniel 1:8-15, how Daniel asked that he only eat pulse and drink water, the importance of water that he had. And he found out he was healthy than all those that ate other foods because he understood what the Word of God had taught concerning man's diet and health. And we also talked about point number two. Number one was that which we consume, what we eat, very important. Secondly, we said, is also according to 1 Timothy 4:8, the importance of bodily exercise, getting out and exercising the body, doing what we can, that we keep ourselves as healthy physically as we can for an exercise standpoint. And then thirdly, the final thing we talked about, the importance of sleep. 1 Thessalonians 5:7, for they that sleep in the night, the importance of sleep and how the body functions, that during your sleep, the body regenerates itself. We talked about how there's spinal fluid that goes to the brain, and it basically washes out the brain, takes the trash out of the brain during your sleep. And so the body needs to sleep and get the adequate amount of hours to do the work that's set before us. So we looked at, as I move into this afternoon lesson, the prayer that John made for Gaius is the same prayer that I offered for all of us that was on the call last week, that you find equality financially, physically, as well as spiritually, but most importantly, your soul. Make sure you have secured your soul, life eternal. And so for the moments I have this afternoon, let us look at what John said in his letter to Gaius about follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. Following that, not that which is evil, but that which is good. Having secured your soul, having done those things as it relates to your soul, that you're not like rich fool who, when God says that you are not rich toward God. And so we talked about, and I want to just bring this point. I don't want to miss this point before I get into this lesson. The importance about your soul, that Peter shares something with us. In 1 Peter 2:11, dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. The thing that will keep us from keeping life eternal, from going to heaven, if we cannot abstain or hold ourselves from those fleshly or carnal desires that all of us possess in us, because man has desires that's not consistent with God. And Peter said those things war against your soul. That's the spiritual struggle that each of us have, that each of us have. And John said in 1 John 5:11, and this is the record, that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So we have the word of God, that those that obey to God and become Christians, they have life eternal. You have to keep your soul saved once you're saved. And that's why we have these messages in the afternoon. Brother Brooks and I have a work together that we talk about Christian living in the PM service, that you can know how to live as a Christian. So let's look at John's letter briefly that he wrote to Gaius, and I'll pick up the end in verse number 3. John said in 3 John verse 3, for I rejoice greatly when the brother, greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. So these brethren have spoke about the faithfulness of Gaius, and John said that it just made him feel good when he heard that Gaius walked, or his action was in the truth. Then he said, for I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walketh in truth. I want to say this. There may be no greater words to a Christian parent than to have someone say that your child is a faithful Christian. To have someone to say that to any Christian parent, that those that know your child, that know their walk and their life, can say, your child walketh in the truth. John said, verse 5, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. So John told Gaius, he said, you possess the spirit of hospitality, not only to those that are Christians, but also to those that may be strangers, those that that may not be known to you. They may be, they're Christian, they may not be known to you. He said, do faithfully to them. And that's something I said, that the Christian ought to develop the spirit of hospitality, that you are faithful in this area. Because in Romans chapter 12 and verse 13, it is a command from God. Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans 12 and verse 13, distributing to the necessities of the saints, given to hospitality. And that's to show love to those that you may not know. That's to show love. That's the spirit of hospitality. And John told Gaius that along with walking in the truth, make sure that you continue being faithful to those brethren. Verse 6, he says, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church. They told the church about this, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou do it well. So he was saying, these brothers have informed the church of your acts of love. You know, wouldn't it be nice to have, not that someone has to publicly broadcast it, but because God knows all, that you have a person that you've shown acts of love to, and they simply, they don't have to make it public, but they thank God for you and how you have exhibited acts of love toward them and given to them from that you have. And so John was commending Gaius on this spirit, and he was encouraging him to continue on assisting those. Then he says in verse 7, because that for his name's sake, that's in the name of Jesus, in the name of Christ, they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. So they were able to be supplied by those that were Christian, didn't need those that were not Christian to provide for them. He says in verse 8, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. And I want to say this, those that provide monetary assistance to an evangelistic effort are likewise fellow helpers in this cause. When you give, and I think sometimes we say in prayer, or when we take up offering, we say it, that it may expand the gospel, or the furtherance of the gospel. That's giving, and that's being a fellow helper. And John was commending him on that spirit to have. And then he gets, as we talk about moving into our subject on this afternoon, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. John says in verse 9, the scripture that was read for our hearing, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, received us not. And preeminence is someone that has a fondness that want to be first. Now, we don't know if Diotrephes was a preacher, could have been an elder, or could have just been a member. But I want to say to all of us, no one person or persons should be allowed to be a church boss or bosses. This type of spirit serves the devil. Anyone that want to run the church, that's the spirit that serves the devil. And let me say this, this person may wear pants, I may wear dresses and can wear skirts. Sometimes it can be a brother, as in this case, trying to run the church. But you also can have sisters that want to try to run things in the church. And I'm saying whomever it is, it's the spirit of the devil when you're trying to be a church boss. Notice what John says concerning it. He said, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doeth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of church. You know, not only was he trying to run things, and John said, first of all, I'm going to remember him when I get there. And the accusations that he would make, the evil words, malicious words that he was saying. He said not only was he not content with just speaking evil, what he was doing, he said neither would he receive brothers, and he would forbid those that wanted to, casting them out of the church. And let me say this. Don't be intimidated by those that may be forceful and loud and try to throw their weight around. Don't allow them to make you afraid. Don't fear them. That's the devil. You don't let the devil have his place. We deal with them in a spiritual manner. We've talked before about, and Jesus said in Matthew 18 concerning the church, 18:15, but also Paul wrote to the church, look at 2 Thessalonians, and 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 14, that we deal with it in a spiritual matter. Why? Because the church belongs to Christ. It don't belong to no individual, nor individuals that try to run the church. And the sad thing about the Church of Christ, we have those that try to put their weight around and try to run things. The church belongs to the Lord. How do you deal with it? You deal with them according to the Bible. 2 Thessalonians 3:14. Paul wrote, and if any man, verse 14, obey not our word by this epistle, a letter, he said, noting a marking, and have no company with him, that he might be ashamed. We talked about the process that Jesus says in Matthew 18 and the verse number 15. You have a brother that's trying to run things. The Bible teaches us in verse 15, moreover, if thy brother should trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee, him alone. If he hear you, thee, thou hast gained our brother. In other words, you got a brother or sister that's trying to run things and doing wrong, making false accusations, speaking evil with somebody. You call the person in. Me and Brother Brooks have our responsibility to do that. If we hear about it, if you hear about it and you know about a person, you go to them. Let them know about it. The Bible says, but if he will not hear thee, take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. And if he won't listen to them, and he still will not repent and will still try to be arrogant and rebellious, the Bible says, and if he shall neglect to hear them, you tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen and a publican. And that's where that verse connects. Verse 17 connects with 2 Thessalonians, verse 14. 2 Thessalonians 3:14. He says, have no company with him. No company with him. That what you want to do is you want him to be ashamed. The hope is that he see himself and then he wants to repent. And the Bible tells us you count him not as an enemy, but you admonish him as a brother. You let him know, brother, this is not right behavior. We're not going to accept it. You need to repent. And if you won't repent, then we have to do what the Bible says to do. That's what the Lord says. And then John said, that's when someone, again, follow not that which is evil. And be careful that you don't have those in the church that like to get in little pockets and like to talk against works and against people. You need to be man enough, woman enough to let that person know, that sister, brother, that's not the right spirit. You going around talking about people and trying to belittle people because you don't care for that person. That's the wrong spirit. That's the spirit of the devil. We need to be able to say that to people and stop allowing people to use us as a trash can and throwing trash on us and in us, and then we accept it wholeheartedly. The Bible tells us, be not partakers of their deeds. And so John says, verse 11, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil has not seen God. Then John gives him an example of someone. He said, Demetrius has good report, verse 12, of all men and of the truth itself, yea, and we also bear record. And you know that our record is true. In other words, Demetrius evidently lived a Christian lifestyle. Now, I want to say this before I close. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we should be able to have those that are examples, because Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse number 1, he said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Paul said that, be ye followers. In other words, I'm asking you to imitate me as I also imitate Christ. And I want to say, I'll put myself on record, myself, Brother Brooks, that be ye followers of us as we are of Christ. We should have consistency as leaders in our life that you can follow. Do we sin? Yes, we sin. That's why John wrote in 1 John 1:7, when we sin, we confess our sin. But there needs to be some consistency, some maturity in our walk as a Christian. And note that, Brother Brooks, we talked about that in Hebrews chapter number 6, about those that eat of that meat, that for those that are mature in Hebrews chapter 6, where he said, for strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Those are mature Christians. You are not one that's on milk. You are on meat because you're mature. You can discern good from evil because the Word of God has influenced your thinking, and you know right from wrong. And so what I'm saying to those that are Christian, those that are members of Highland Heights, be ye followers of us as we are of Christ. And then John closed by saying, I have many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. So again, follow not that which is evil, but follow that which is good. And you should have leadership that is that good that you can follow. And so John closed by saying, real peace comes from service to the Lord and obedience to the will of God for the Christian. If you're not a Christian, as I said today, 3 points I want to make to you on how one become a Christian, all from the book of Romans. In Romans 1:16, Paul talks about him not being ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ is the three factors. Jesus Christ died for your sins, you were buried, he rose again the third day. He said, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So you must be obedient to the gospel of Christ. And then Paul shared in Romans 6 how obedience is complied with when he says in Romans 6:1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? How, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer than you? So what you must do is die to sin. How do you die to sin? You hear the gospel that Christ suffered on the cross and died on that cross for your sin. You believe that. You repent of your sins, according to Acts 8:37. You make the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then you complete that obedience in baptism, where John says, Paul says in verse number 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So when you are water baptized for the remission of all your past sin and forgiveness of your past sin, the Lord then adds you to the church, the only church you can read about in the Bible. Romans 16 and 16 shares with us that it is the churches of Christ. The Lord does that, and according to Acts 2:47, upon your obedience. There's someone today, if you've been invited on the call, you want to become a Christian, get with that person so they can contact us so we can make it happen that you can be a Christian. You're not saved until you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and you culminate it in water baptism for the forgiveness of all your past sins. I thank you for your listening here on this afternoon.